Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Medicine cabinets throughout the U.S. bulge with supplements meant to ease arthritis, improve eyesight, and sharpen the wits, not only for people, but for their pets. But it's really a buyer's beware situation for pet owners because there's no governmental agency ensuring that what you're purchasing for your pet is safe, efficacious, or even contains the ingredients listed on the label. Today we're going to be speaking to Dr. Robert Silver. He is a veterinarian who has dedicated his professional career to alternative herbal medicine for pets. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsin' Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Silver, thank you so much for being with us. So how did you get involved in alternative medicine? Because correct me if I'm wrong, you are a Western-trained traditional veterinarian.
That's right, Bernadine, and thank you for inviting me to your program because I know that a lot of these questions do need to be answered. I graduated from Colorado State University with my veterinary degree in 1982, and at the time I thought I knew it all and was, you know, hot to trot with all of my newly learned tools from the veterinary hospital. And after a couple of years in practice, I started finding myself getting frustrated, not with, you know, simple cases, but with the more complicated diseases, things like diabetes and Cushing's disease and heart disease. And I started looking for more answers because I wasn't finding all the tools that I needed to address my patients' problems with the pharmaceuticals that had pharmaceutical medicine that I had learned at Colorado State University. And so it was after a period of time of studying and learning and reading and trying and seeing what worked and seeing what didn't work and going to the science, that over the last 15, nearly 20 years, I've been able to develop these very effective protocols to help animals, both with conventional medicine, because yes, that is how I'm trained, but using conventional medicine and alternative medicine hand in hand to create a new medicine. We call this medicine integrative medicine.
It sounds like it's really addressing the entire animal from all sorts of different perspectives, doing the best that there is. Because, yes, it is frustrating sometimes, especially with the difficult cases. You just can't come up with the answers. So if a person wants to find a veterinarian such as yourself who is well-trained, where do they find this person? Because there isn't a veterinary college, to the best of my knowledge, that has set courses in alternative medicine.
Well, there are several veterinary schools that are offering electives and some postgraduate courses, but you're right. There is no one cohesive place that you can go to learn, you know, all of these different ways of treating animals with alternative medicine.
I'm a pet owner. And I'm getting frustrated because I'm going to my traditionally trained veterinarian, very nice person, really like them, but my pet's just not getting better. How do I find a practitioner who is appropriately trained in alternative medicine?
The answer is actually quite simple. Although there is no one school that teaches all of these things, and there are some veterinary colleges that teach electives, there is an organization of like-minded veterinarians who share an interest in alternative medicine. And this professional association for veterinarians was founded in 1982. And your listeners can find it on the web at www.ahvma.org. That stands for the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, ahvma.org. On this website, there is actually a member list and a referral list. And so they have somewhere close to 1,000 members worldwide. And so they go state by state and locality by locality. And so people can go there and search for their local region and find lists of veterinarians and see what their credentials are, have links to their websites. And so it does offer people an opportunity to see who is in their area that they can go to avail themselves of these rather novel approaches to pet healing.
Dr. Silva, you mentioned a word that oftentimes gets thrown around, and I think I would love to have it defined for myself and for the listeners. Holistic versus complementary versus alternative.
Well, these are perhaps a bit nitpicking as far as the details, but there are differences between each of them. We talk about conventional medicine, you know, as the Western scientific medicine that both you and I studied at veterinary school and we both practice day to day. Alternative medicine is alternative to that. It's not pharmaceutical. It may use herbs. It may use homeopathic substances. It may use hands-on healing, you know, some esoteric approaches to healing. The term complementary medicine means that you're using these alternative therapies as a complement, in other words, to help the conventional therapies. And there's a new term out there. Well, and then we have the term holistic, which basically is the old term, and most holistic veterinarians or complementary veterinarians or alternative veterinarians, whatever they choose to call themselves, now prefer to not use the term holistic because it doesn't have the same connotation of kind of scientific medical practice. The newest phrase is called integrative medicine. And what integrative medicine promotes is that alternatives aren't really alternatives. They have validity as standalone treatments just as conventional therapies do. And so integrative medicine combines conventional with alternative into one single medical practice. And so I feel that's the kind of medicine that I practice. I pick and choose based on what my patient's highest need is, and that changes from patient to patient, from exam to exam, as far as what exactly I'm going to do. An animal comes in really sick with a fever, not eating. We're going to hospitalize them probably and give them IVs and antibiotics and get them going, because so many of these alternative therapies need to have an animal that's eating, that's doing okay. You know, interventional therapy, that's where conventional medicine really still rules.
It sounds very important to people to understand that so many times they want to do things so natural that natural has its place, but it has to be integrated with sometimes pharmaceuticals.
Well, unfortunately, you know, many of our pets and ourselves have diseases that create a lot of severe pain that can't be resolved with simple techniques. I mean, certainly acupuncture and herbs and homeopathy can do well to help relieve many, many types of pain. But there are some types of pain, like the pain of bone cancer, for instance, that you need pharmaceuticals. It's the only humane way to go. And so, you know, there are areas in which it is most appropriate to use conventional pharmaceutical and surgical therapies. And then there's patients who present with problems that aren't as severe that would be more applicable for the use of these complementary and alternative therapies, maybe alongside of the conventional therapies, or perhaps after the conventional therapies have relieved this animal's pain and suffering. For instance, I have a client who comes in with a patient that has arthritis.
Uh-huh.
And the dog is so sore they have to carry the dog in, and they're looking to me for some miracle that I can use acupuncture to treat it, and then it's going to get up and be as active as ever. And they expect it to happen within a 30-minute time period, which is not realistic for most healing practices, as you know.
So they've been watching too much TV.
Yeah. So you know, oftentimes with a patient like that, I'll start them on an NSAID, you know, a Rimadyl or a Medican or a Duramax, because they're in pain. You know,
so a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
Those can help a lot. And then as the treatments progress with the acupuncture, with the supplements, the glucosamines and the fish oils, then we find we need less and less and less of these strong drugs, which have potential toxic side effects. And so ultimately, everybody wins. You know, the animal's pain gets relieved quickly, and then over time we're able to reduce the dosage and impact of these potentially toxic drugs.
You mentioned potentially toxic drugs, but isn't it true also that people need to be very careful about what type of herbs and supplements they purchase for their pets? Because I know people sometimes come in saying, oh, I found this bottle online and it's guaranteed to stop shedding, hiccups, and fleas.
Well, it is definitely, and I really appreciated your introduction, it definitely is a buyer beware marketplace out there. And there are some dangerous items out there that people can buy. There was something, we saw a patient a couple of weeks ago, and maybe you've seen some of these, with some sort of a liquid they added to the water to help eat away tartar, and it created kidney failure in this cat.
And charming.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there are better ways of doing it. And this is integrative veterinarians like myself, choose your terminology, feel that it's very important that the public needs to know that we exist, that we're out there, and that we want to help them figure out what are the best herbal therapies, what are the safest herbal therapies, what's the safest program to set them up for their animals so their animals can create optimal health. The most important part of this kind of medicine is the aspect of prevention. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we can keep our animals from developing these diseases, or from these diseases progressing to be more serious, by using natural supplements that promote the healing process, then we're in good shape.
You're saying, you know, we're trying to have this optimal quality of life. Is there one single thing that a pet owner can do to try to really make sure that their pet is doing the best? If you could say just one thing.
Diet. I think diet is most important.
Finding a homemade diet, a raw diet, a commercial diet?
Well, I think generally speaking, diet is very important. There's a different scale in terms of the value of these diets, and that scale may change from animal to animal. I have found in my practice that teaching people the details of how to do homemade diets, and that could be with raw food or it could be with cooked food, that I have seen such a remarkable improvement in animals that otherwise weren't improving. At the same time, I have patients who come in who can't tolerate homemade diets. And I don't think it's the bad cooking. I think their systems are just too sensitive to that, and they're so used to the commercial foods. And so in those cases, we try to find the healthiest, the best suited commercial food for that individual. And then we may want to add some supplements to the food as a way of improving the nutritional plane of the animal, at the same time not upsetting its digestive system. The pet food industry has done a remarkable job in providing us with these incredible diets, these kibbles, these cans, these frozen raw foods, these freeze-dried foods, these diets that address medical conditions. But unfortunately, they are the same kind of diets that we're finding in the human realm, foods that have been processed, that have been manufactured, that have been cooked at high temperatures. In the human realm, we are finding are also the source of many of these problems. We have this obesity epidemic in our children and in our pets, and a large reason behind that, in my belief, and based in some scientific studies, is that the processed commercial foods promote obesity through their high carbohydrates, through the processed byproducts that are found in the foods. Certainly with this pet food recall that has happened this last spring and summer, it's gotten everybody's awareness and attention up as far as how good really are these dry foods. And I think many of them do the job, but I don't think that they are good as single standalone diets. And in that case, I disagree with many of the veterinarians, many of the nutritionists and pet food companies who say you should only feed your animals one kibble, one food, nothing else, no table scraps, nothing. But that being said, you know, most people do not know how to feed themselves. We can't expect them to have that nutritional knowledge to know how to feed their critters. And that, again, is where I go back to urging your listeners to think about finding a holistic veterinarian. You don't have to give up your regular veterinarian to do that. You can find a holistic veterinarian to have a consultation with, to ask all of these questions too, and to try to have them devise a program that includes diet, maybe a commercial food with supplements, maybe a couple of homemade meals a week. You know, our lives are so busy these days. We all have to find compromises that work. You know, these are great ideas, but if you don't do them consistently, you know, even the best of homemade foods aren't going to work.
Dr. Silver, I totally agree with you. I've often told my own clients, I wish I were a cat or a dog, that I could just go to the grocery store, pick up this bag, this can, and it's better balanced than what I have to try to put together for myself, you know, one from aisle A and one from aisle B, to have an appropriate diet. And I know so many times we tend to rely too heavily on supplements. I maybe have a poor diet, so if I take more vitamins, I am going to be doing better. Are there any supplements that you think are very important for a pet to be getting on a routine basis?
Well, I agree with you that the best source of nutrients is in wholesome food. Organic food, we're finding now, has higher levels of nutrients and antioxidants in it than food that isn't grown organically. But even with the best of an organic diet that a human might eat, fresh food, there still are things that humans should take. And certainly for an animal who's eating a processed commercial food, I feel that one of the most important supplements that an animal can have is fish oil. That would be number one. Number two, I think the use of acidophilus. Acidophilus are those good bugs that live in the bowel, and they promote a healthy ecology in the bowel. And a lot of people think that acidophilus is about diarrhea, but it's about so much more than diarrhea. Research is showing us now that acidophilus actually helps our immune system to become more tolerant and reduces reaction to allergens. And so they're using acidophilus now as a primary intervention in pediatrics who have adipy. And so many of our young animals coming from shelters and all, you know, are given antibiotics when they're young, and these antibiotics will destroy their normal bowel flora and their normal bowel ecology. And veterinarians should, when they dispense the antibiotics, also dispense the probiotics. It's good medicine. It'll help to replenish the bowel flora, and it'll help to reduce the potential for them to develop allergies. So fish oil and acidophilus are on the top of my list. Digestive enzymes, especially with processed commercial foods, help them to digest this food better and helps to get more assimilation of these very valuable nutrients that are in the commercial foods. And the fourth supplement that I think is most important, and there's a copious amount of research that supports this, are antioxidants. So many disease processes we're finding now are based in this oxidative stress and the damage done to tissues by all of these free radical ions that are released through pollution, but also released just through normal bodily processes every day.
Well, Dr. Silver, thank you so much. We're going to take a short little break right now. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You're listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. We'll be back talking to Dr. Robert Silver. He is going to be telling us some alternative treatments for things like cancers, allergies, arthritis, ways that you can make your pet's life as healthy as possible and in a very integrated manner. Please stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Silver, you have been giving us just some very interesting information, things that I have a feeling most veterinarians aren't aware of. I think most pet owners have not been aware. Especially, I loved the idea of your four supplements, the supplements being your fish oils, being the acidophilus. Can you give just the regular acidophilus from the grocery store?
You can. But again, as you had mentioned in your introduction to the show, there's a lot of questions about whether these supplements that people can buy over the counter at things like pharmacies or supermarkets have any potency to them. And I worry about that. And I see people coming into me, they bought acidophilus at Costco or something like that, and it's not working. And I switch them over to one of the professional formulas that we carry, and we find that it works better. So although certainly there are some gems of products out there in the over-the-counter world, if you have an animal that has problems and you want to make sure it gets better, I think it's important to find professional-level, professional potency products. Purina makes a good one. Rx Vitamins makes a good one. There are quite a few entries in the marketplace these days for probiotics that are very, very good.
Dr. Silver, you mentioned Rx Vitamins for Pets. I know you are associated with it, and that's how I've learned about you and use your products in my own hospital. How did you get into, is it just your love and passion for alternative integrative medicine that got you into all these various herbs? Because I look through the labels going, I've never heard of most of these. How did you learn about it?
Well, as I said, I got frustrated after about 5 years of school, and there really weren't any training courses for veterinarians. So I started taking courses with humans and about human medicine and kind of, translating it into animal medicine. And I started trying a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I started to get some very positive successes, which, you know, just made me, you know, totally, totally excited about it, which continued to feed my desire to learn about, you know, how to use these medicines right. And as excited as I got, I started to write and speak to other veterinarians, starting with this American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, the AHVMA.org, which is a referral site where people can find other veterinarians. And as word of what I was doing got out, this company, RX Vitamins, came to me and asked me if I could somehow bottle these successful clinical protocols that I had been developing into this product line that RX Vitamins was developing. That was over 10 years ago. We have 24 different products in the line. They're professional quality, professional potency, as I had mentioned, and they are only available through veterinarians, which gives them a mark of approval and lets the pet guardian, the pet parent, know that these are really the highest quality supplements they can get, and they can trust that what they read on label is in the bottle.
What are some of these products, and what conditions do they address?
Well, we have a wide range of products, all the way from these top four supplements that I had mentioned in terms of the fish oil and acidophilus and so on. We have a cancer formula that has things like medical mushrooms and green tea and antioxidants and immune-enhancing substances. We have.
Is the cancer product meant to cure cancer or just support the animal?
It's meant to support the cancer patient and to help them through chemotherapy and radiation. And it's been out about a year and a half, 2 years now. We're getting very, very good reports from the field. A number of oncologists are buying it and using it as well with their patients. And so it's working really well. Curing cancer, I'm not there yet, but I'd like to. Let's see. We also have a calming formula that contains we've got a new liquid calming formula that's just come out with an extract of green tea and tryptophan. You know, tryptophan is that amino acid around Thanksgiving time that we take in turkey. Yeah, that makes us feel kind of calm and relaxed. So we have that. That's called NutriCalm. We also have it in a capsule form with tryptophan and kava. God, we have so many formulas. I'm trying to.
How about for a chubby animal? Is there anything I can do for that chubby pet? It needs to lose weight and it just refuses.
The chubby animal weight loss is really more about diet, and commercial foods. The kibble sticks to the ribs. It's got too many carbohydrates, and you know, Dr. Atkins was right. You know, feeding a higher protein, higher fat diet to a dog or a cat, you know, done under the supervision of a veterinarian, of course, will help to regulate insulin and in the process help to get them to take their weight off as well. So that's one place where a homemade diet could come in handy, because that way you know exactly what's going into the food. You can regulate the exact, you know, amount of carbohydrates, the exact amount of protein, the exact amount of vegetables. And we have like a little Weight Watchers at my once a month. We've got, you know, a number of different animals come in for weigh-ins and pep talks and, you know, the whole kind of thing to try to get their weight down. I haven't tried that new Pfizer product. Have you had any experience with it?
Yes, there is a new product called Slentrol, which I've been very happy with. Some dogs, it's oftentimes, you know, the owner's problem where it's there at the table and it's begging. It's like, oh, it's so cute. You just need to give it some more food. And this medication, just once a day, orally, and the pet goes, you know, I don't think I'm that hungry. I think I can just lay down here in the other room as you're having dinner. So it really is a matter of retraining the pet and retraining the owner at the same time. With some of these various herbals, I know a real problem that I see so frequently in my practice is going to be pets with allergies. Is there anything that herbs can do for the allergic pet?
There are, and this and we are in the middle of an allergy epidemic, aren't we, Bernadine?
I am seeing more and more of it. I agree.
Oh, it's amazing, and I have to say that I think that one of the reasons is this indiscriminate use of antibiotics. And also the discriminant use of antibiotics to these young puppies and kittens that are coming out of shelters, wiping out the gut flora and altering the altering the immune system's response to these things. So that's where the use of high-potency probiotics, Acidophilus, very important, and being used as a primary tool to address allergies. Also, fish oil. Fish oil is very important, but one thing that most people don't realize is that it's not just about using the fish oil, or it's not just about using the Acidophilus, it's about the dosage. Dosage is very important, and for both the Acidophilus and the fish oil, we have to give really high doses. For instance, with the fish oil, if you have a standard fish oil gel cap, which contains, like, let's say, 180 milligrams per gel cap, or the RX Vitamins Ultra EFA has 180 milligrams per half teaspoon, you have to give that much for each 10 pounds of body weight daily, and it's going to take, a study out of Norway showed it's going to take at least 2, if not 3 months to show an effect, enough of an effect that you can actually reduce your dosage of steroids and the animal stays just as comfortable. So I use a lot of Acidophilus, I use a lot of fish oil with my allergic patients. We also do a bunch of allergy testing. We test for food allergies, we test for inhalant and contact allergies. With the food allergy tests, we then can decide which would be the least offensive foods to feed, at least as a starting point, as we're trying to establish an elimination diet. And with the inhalant allergies, such as dust and mold and pollen and dander and things like that, if we do those tests, then we're looking to do the allergy shots. And we have found the allergy shots to be to help about 70% of our patients. So we combine the allergy shots with the fish oil, with the Acidophilus. We use a lot of antihistamines in our practice. And people who have tried Benadryl and say Benadryl doesn't work should realize there's at least another 5 or 6 over-the-counter antihistamines out there that they can use. And there's some prescription antihistamines as well that they can get from their veterinarians. Antihistamines are very safe to use over long periods of time and can give the animal a lot of relief. We also use a lot of topical products, medicated leave-on conditioners, those types of things. It's difficult. Allergies are difficult. I'd almost rather have a patient with cancer. Sometimes I think they can be easier to treat.
Dr. Silver, all of these herbal supplements, homeopathic treatments sound marvelous, but are there any times when there can be actually adverse side effects to using them? Any time, for instance, when a person should not be, especially if they're self-medicating, using an herb with a particular typical traditional pharmaceutical?
Well, there are some herbs that affect the way that the body, specifically the liver, detoxifies herbs or detoxifies other pharmaceuticals. One, and even food can do this as well. You may not know that grapefruit juice contains a bioflavonoid that reduces the liver's rate of degrading cyclosporin, a very expensive drug. Transplant surgeons, back when they would give cyclosporin to human patients, would tell them to drink a glass of grapefruit juice a day to keep their cyclosporin levels up. So, I mean, there can be beneficial interactions as well. One herb that have quite a few interactions, and I'm not quite sure it has enough benefits for people to really be using, is St. John's wort. St. John's wort certainly can affect the disposition and degradation of certain pharmaceuticals. Certainly also has an effect on some of the psychopharmaceuticals that have MAO inhibitors. But in general, the herbs are relatively safe. I think that people shouldn't think of them as safe as food, and they should have a reliable veterinarian, a reliable veterinary context to use when they're choosing herbs. But I don't think that should be a reason not to use herbs. I mean, for goodness sake, many pharmaceuticals have a much higher risk of use than most herbs do. So I feel comfortable in saying to your audience that most herbs are safe. Be reasonable with the amount that you're giving to your animal. Check with your veterinarian first. Check with a holistic veterinarian. There are some good books out there, and Bernadine, I could perhaps send you a reading list that you could post on the website that might have some good
links. That would be wonderful. I appreciate it.
Yeah, some books that would give them good information about what are safe herbs to use and what herbs to avoid. And I hope that after today's talk that people will be more open to considering working with a holistic veterinarian to improve their animals' health.
I know we have a veterinarian at my practice who has very much integrated Chinese herbal medicine into her traditional methodology, and I've seen some amazing results. I've started using it more myself, definitely used your products, RX vitamins for pets, and have been extremely pleased with it. I do think it's always so important when you have a client going in to see their veterinarian and the veterinarian asks, so what medications is your pet on? They should always remember to mention these nutraceuticals, no matter who makes it, what type they're using, because sometimes there can be interactions. Dr. Silver, if somebody wanted to learn more about RX vitamins for pets, where can they go?
Well, they can certainly go to the website, rxvitamins.com, and click on the animal picture, and you'll see a picture of me and information about the formulas. Veterinarians who are interested can contact the company directly as far as ordering and things like that. Those who are interested in learning a little bit more about myself and my practice is in Boulder, and it's called Boulder's Natural Animal, and my website is just that, www.BouldersNaturalAnimal.com, and I know you'll have that website also posted, that address posted on your website as well.
We definitely will. Dr. Silver, I appreciate you being with us, letting us know that there's more to taking care of your pet than just traditional medicine, that there are also alternatives, making this an integrative approach that incorporates the pet owner and the veterinarian working together for the betterment of the animal. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with some more information, matters concerning your pet's health. If you ever have questions, always the best person to ask is your personal veterinarian. And then if you have questions and you want a second opinion, you can contact me, the pet doctor, at PetLifeRadio.com. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.